Hello and welcome to the Irish Wolves podcast for this week. My name is Tony Lawler and this is our 10th podcast. So what better way to celebrate that than an interview with a former Wolves player from the late 1990s, Dominic Foley. Interviewing Dominic about his career at Wolves, other clubs in England and across Europe is Irish Wolves member Ty Curtis from Cork. So sit back, relax and enjoy.
Ty Curtis here for Irish Wolves, and sitting opposite me right now is a man that spent four seasons at Molyneux, who went on to get six international caps for the Republic of Ireland, and subsequently went on to have a very successful soccer career in Belgium. Dominic Foley, welcome to Irish Wolves.
Good evening.
So maybe we start at the very beginning, and that obviously is your hometown of Charleville. And was it always going to be soccer over the GA, because there's a great tradition of both sports in Charleville?
It was 50-50 for a while. As you say, growing up in Charleville, it's a big GAA area as well, especially hurling. So I was as equally in love with the hurling as I was with the soccer, and played a lot of both. So it was career versus, I suppose, amateurism.
And with the soccer, was it always going to be up front?
Yeah, never remember playing anywhere else, always centre forward, and that was it. I wasn't moved from one place around until they found a spot for me. I just had one place, that was it.
Yeah, because very often it was a person of your build would they try and put in a centre back or something, you know, but it was always going to be up front.
Always, as long back as I can remember. Yeah.
And then from the very early years in Charleville, of course, how did it move on from there? Because there are many people that show great promise, I suppose, at their local clubs, but never go any further. Where did the break come for you?
It was through a mutual friend of ours, Tim Fitzgerald, that we just spoke about. Tim was involved with the Limerick County School Boys team at the time, or the committee inside Limerick, and he had a good friend, Maliki, who he used to push and push to give me a go, basically, because as you say, at the time, we're Cork town, but we played in the Limerick League because it was closer to us and we didn't have to be travelling hours every Sunday morning. So we played in the Limerick League, and the league had a team at the end of the year that competed in the national tournament, the Limerick team, and nobody from Charleville ever got on it because they picked all the city players. But because of Tim Fitzgerald being involved and having some friends involved, he kept badgering until they gave me a chance, and it worked out from there. Got onto the team, we ended up getting to an All-Ireland final that year with Limerick against Waterford, and it was just through playing with Limerick, then the scouts were at the games, the Limerick select team, and it wasn't Limerick City or anything like that, it was Limerick select team, and it was from there that I got my chances with the teams in England.
And before that you went to St James's Gate, I think, didn't you?
I had been on trial a few times. The way I tell the story is I got my eye opener when I went to Manchester City on trial. 23 young lads had been brought into the office and three of them got a contract. So they went from leaving school at 15 to basically being kicked out the door. So I kind of saw what was going on. Luckily I was there at the time. It was school holidays. I saw it and I thought, Jesus, this is not what it's painted to be. So I decided I was going to finish my Leaving Cert then. So I came home, and in the meantime, while I was finishing my Leaving Cert, the idea came about to play at a slightly higher level than where we were. So that's how I ended up going to St James's Gate. It was always for experience rather than a long-term move.
And do you think, was it at St James's Gate then that you were spotted by a scout for Wolves? Or
It was actually a guy who was the manager there at the time, Pat Byrne. He was involved helping with scouting with Wolves, so I'd been to four or five different teams, and look, I was going to go and have a look at them all and see where you might feel comfortable, and so that's where that chance came about, and it went from there.
And it worked out.
So. Exactly, I went over. It was at the time there was something mad about 15 or 16 Irish guys over there, so it was like a home away from home. The club were very friendly. Graham Taylor was there, he was the manager at the time, and said he liked what he saw for the few weeks I was there and was willing to give me a chance.
Well, what other Irish players were there at the time? Can you remember that?
Some of the higher profile ones were Keith Andrews, Glenn Crow, Robbie Keane. It was myself, like the four of us were kind of four, I'd say, that went on to have a career. Some of the other guys came home. It was a Seamus Crow from Galway, came back and played GAA a lot. Alan Dixon, I remember there's a few other Northern Ireland guys, but there was loads there at the time. But they're the ones that would, I would think, that went on to play for the first team there and then moved on again.
Okay. And the fact that there were so many Irish guys at the time, it obviously helped you to settle into...
No, I was a little bit older because I had finished my leaving cert. I was 18 and a half before I went over. They had come in at 16. So I was probably the eldest there at the time, but still good to have them around. They were all doing the YTS, whereas I went straight in at pro.
And your first impressions of Wolverhampton?
Like every young fella leaving home for the first time, to me it was a big city. It had a big club, it had big players. Because Graham Taylor was there at the time, as I said, and they just started spending a lot of money on well-established players. Like, I remember Tony Daly, the ex-Aston Villa guy, was brought in. Steve Froggatt was there. Don Goodman was brought in. Ewan Robert, Dean Richards. So there was a lot of big players there at the time that went on to play at higher level again after. So it was a big club at the time in the first division.
So your competition up front were obviously Robertson.
Yeah, Steve Bull, of course. The,
Steve Bull
was
there, of course. The legend, yeah.
He was in full swing at that time. So Don Goodman, Steve Bull and Ewan Roberts, they were the three main guys. And of course, we're talking so long ago now, there was only three people allowed on the bench at the time.
Yeah.
Remember that one goalkeeper and two outfield players, so even to get on the bench was a struggle back then. We had such a big squad, as I said, because they were spending money at the time was to get out of the Championship, or all First Division into the Premier League.
And the training regime and the whole way of life, did that surprise you, or was it?
Yeah, I remember for the first 6 months I used to train, eat and sleep, and that was it. Like, we were used to, I suppose, training at home once or twice a week. Now I might be with the soccer and once or twice a week with the hurling or whatever, but it was so full on, and these guys were used to training twice every day maybe since they were 15 or 16, so it took me a while to catch up to that and get used to the way of living. So yeah, training, eating and bed was my routine for a long time.
Okay. The whole question then of getting your place on the team and breaking through, obviously, as I said, that was a challenge.
Yeah, it was like everybody else. I just arrived there. As I say, I came as a full-time professional, so I didn't even have the luxury of starting in a youth league or whatever. So we played in the reserve league, which at the time was kind of made up with a few guys who weren't in the first team, some younger guys coming through and people coming back from injuries. It was kind of a mixed match team. It was never the same every week. So I started doing quite well in that, and most games that I played, and I would score, impressing the manager if he was there, or the word was being fed back from the reserve team that what I was doing. So eventually, by keep scoring and doing what I was doing, that's how you get your breakthrough. I suppose I got my breakthrough within a year of being there, which was, I'm useless with dates and memories, I'm one of these guys. But I know I wasn't there long, so I was quite surprised that I got the breakthrough when I did. So it was, Molyneux at the time was a new stadium, it was a big stadium, you get a lot of...
They had just invested big time to bring it up to high standard, yeah.
So we got, and Molyneux always, or Wolves always had a good following, so yeah, it was great. It was always nice to, that's what you were there for. It was nice to eventually get out onto the field, yeah.
Any memorable games?
I suppose scoring my first goal for Wolves, a senior goal we'll call it, in Swindon. I remember that one. I remember we played Aston Villa in a FA Cup quarter final or something. I remember playing at Aston Villa for that game. There was, of course, a Premier League team. Mm. We played Tottenham a couple of times in the Cup as well. Got big games there. Of course, every game against West Brom was always interesting.
Yes, of course, yeah.
So, yeah, they were my memories, I suppose, that popped to mind straight away.
And toughest opponents, who do you remember particularly coming up against?
I remember playing against Birmingham, of course, that was another local derby, and our own Liam Daish was playing centre back for them. I remember running into him once or twice, thinking he was a big man.
I think I saw a photograph of yourself and Jamie Callagher at some.
That would have been kind of a friendly match for Ireland. Look, I was lucky enough when I did move on to Watford after with Graham Taylor. He moved on to Watford and he brought me with him. We got a year in the Premier League, so we got to play against a lot of big boys there. All of those games are good memories.
Were you with Wolves when Mark McGee came in, or did you?
Yeah, so Graham left and Bobby Downs, he was there at the time with Graham Taylor. He took interim manager there for a while, and then Mark McGee came in after. So I was in the squad and playing a good bit with Mark McGee. He was always good to have a centre forward as a manager. He kind of gave us more of a chance, I suppose, and knew what we were about. Then Mark left and his assistant Colin Lee took over. That was it. Then it was coming to the end of my contract that summer, and I'd gone on loan to Watford. Actually, it was the year before Graham Taylor had left. He took me on loan in the old second division, we'll call it.
Okay.
I was with him on loan when they got promoted to the first division, and he tried to take me to Watford then, but Wolves didn't want me to go. They wanted me to stay with them. So I stayed another year, and in that year that I stayed, Watford actually won the championship, or the old first division, and ended up in the Premier League.
Right.
And then I was free of contract, so I was able to join him. It was a handy move, and straight to the Premier League. So we had that one season in the Premier League, which was great.
And then subsequently you went out on loan from Watford. I think you spent QPR.
Actually, Ian Holloway was the manager of QPR at the time, and Kenny Jackett was the assistant with Graham Taylor. So when Graham had left and Vialli had come in, Gianluca Vialli, the Italian guy, had come in as manager, I had a month out on loan with QPR, and that was because of Kenny Jackett. He loaned me from the Watford days.
Okay.
So eventful enough few years. I suppose it goes back to, I'd always look back fondly on Graham Taylor giving me the chance at Wolves.
Both at Wolves and at Watford
and
as well.
And brought me to Watford as well.
Yeah.
And always looked after us. Now he was strict and stern and all the rest of it, but he, I'd always be grateful to him for the chances that he gave me.
Okay. And in the meantime then, obviously you had attracted the attention of the international setup, and you won your first of six caps with the Republic of Ireland.
Yeah, so that was, Mick McCarthy was in charge at the time, and we were Watford, and I'd happened to be playing at Leeds. We played away at Leeds United. At the time, Leeds were doing very well.
Big
under
team,
the game
yeah.
earlier.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we, I played at Elland Road and I scored in that match, and Mick had won a few, I think it was his brother was actually scouting for him at the time. So I went back about me that I played well, scored, etc. And there was a get together for Steve Staunt and Tony Cascarino, testimonial. And there was a few friendlies in the summer coming up, so he invited me into the squad, and I ended up playing that summer. We had four matches out in the USA Cup, and I luckily enough got some game time and scored a few goals as well. So everything was going rosy. So yeah, look, I always look back on that time as I was probably lucky to get the caps when I did, because, you know, when it comes to the summer, you get a few of the senior guys pulling out with injuries or taking it easy. So I got into the squad that time. Then later on, I would feel maybe a little bit unlucky that I didn't get more. I moved to Belgium and I'd been playing the most consistent
of your career, yeah.
And I never got the chance again, so it swings and roundabouts, I suppose.
And from the moving back to Ireland, moving back to Bowes, was that directly from Watford at the time?
No, what had happened was I had moved, my agent at the time had come to me and said, look, what do you think about going to Portugal? So there was a club, Sporting Braga, out there. He had played out there, Mickey Walsh was his name, agent at the time, and he played at Porto. And Dublin Trial had a look at me, and I signed a 2-year contract with them, but after a year, it wasn't for me. So myself and my wife had just got married at the time and said, look, we'll come home. I know Bowes and Cork City and a few teams I'd spoken to, and the league was going very well at the time. I said, look, come home for a year and we'll settle down and see what happens. So I came home to Bowes. We ended up playing a European match against Ghent.
When you came home to Bowes, did you think at that stage that that was going to be where you were going to finish out your career, that it would be an Irish Soccer League of Ireland?
I've been around long enough and seen enough to know that things can change very quickly. I hadn't ruled out ever going back to England or anything like that, only just at the time it hadn't worked out in Portugal. It was a good experience on everything because it was the year, the next year they were holding the European Championships. So okay. They had all their new stadium built and we got to play in all the new stadia and everything. So got to play against Mourinho's Porto that year.
Mm.
They'd won the European Cup and they went on to win the Champions League that year as well, so or the next year. So I got to play against some good players there that ended up in the Premier League as well. Sporting, Porto, Benfica, you know, they were all great experiences. So, so it was worth it for the year. But no, decided to come home, settle down just for a while and see where we go from there. And look what happened then. We ended up playing in the...
So you said you just got married. So what did your wife think when you said we're off to Belgium?
She was used to moving around. I always believed... I'm an Irish man living in England, playing in England. Why can't I be an Irish man playing in Germany or France? Or it's the same thing to me, or Portugal or wherever it is. And I went to Greece at one stage on loan as well. So everybody just, the Irish mentality seems to be we go to England.
And that still seems to be the case, doesn't it?
English football doesn't suit everybody. I would always look back now, of course, in hindsight and say it didn't suit me. I feel I had the ability... But I just was not a machine, as I call these fellas, can run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and never get out of breath. Like, I wasn't one of those, but I had the footballing ability. So when I went to Belgium, it wasn't all about physical. It was more, how good are you on the ball? What can you do it? How good are you tactically? How good do you train? Do you look after yourself, etc., etc.? So it just suited me. So how many players do we have that go to England? And I think there's a statistic that 93% of players are home before the end of their first contract. So does that mean they're bad players, or do they have they turned bad overnight? No, it just didn't suit them. They didn't get the break. What's to say that playing in France, Portugal, Spain, Belgium, where I ended up, wouldn't suit them better?
And the move to Ghent came about directly through the game between Bose and Ghent.
Yeah. It was like the old Intertoto kind of European
Cup,
UEFA league game. We played against them away for, and the manager got back to me through the club that the manager had liked me. It was George Leekens, who was the manager. He's an ex-Belgian international, an ex-Belgian manager as well. And he liked my target striker style. And then we played at home in the second leg, and I played well again in that game, and he showed further interest. So that's where it came about.
Okay, so the move up to Belgium then, how different was that to English football and settling into...
Yeah, it was my first experience of it. I know it's changed now, but it was just the start when I left England in 2003 maybe. A lot of the foreign players were starting to come in and things were starting to change, you know, with your diet and your drinking and your nights out and all that thing was changing. So when I went to Belgium, it was my first real experience of different types of coaching to do with all about ball control and passing and moving, and loads of different drills were being done to improve this. I remember thinking, is this different? But if you went to any club now in England, or maybe 4 or 5 years later, they're all doing it. But it was my... So that's what I found immediately different.
And that suited you, that style? It
suited me.
You went on to become the captain of Ghent then?
Yeah, I did. I stayed at Ghent for 4 years. I was captain for maybe 2 years of it. I moved on to Cercle Bruges then, which were a club up in Bruges. It was only a half an hour, 45 minutes up the road. I ended up captaining them as well. So I would say my 8 years, 7.5 to 8 years in Belgium was the most fruitful of my career. And if I look back now... And
the total 48 goals scored for the two clubs. That's what the stats say anyway.
I would say there's a lot more than that. No, there might be league goals or something, isn't it? But anyway, that doesn't matter to me. I would feel, if you look back now and you got the opportunity to go there at 18, like it could have been a lot better. But then I had great experiences in England as well, and might never have got to play in the Premier League and play for my country. But I was lucky. I would say I was lucky and I got to see a lot in my time.
Hmm. What was the major difference between Braga and Ghent, both being European style, etc.?
Braga was falling over, diving. It's different. Okay, I can say Belgium was tough and you can still get stuck in, but a lot of it is to do with ball playing and ball control. Whereas in England, it could have been in the air, bush batter. Mm. It just didn't suit me at the time. I'm sure you're watching television, you see these guys sprinting around the place for 90 minutes and they come off and do an interview and not one bead of sweat. They're superhuman people. I always say, they're supreme athletes. And on top of that, then they are supreme footballers. But you can't be a supreme footballer and not be an athlete. I think that comes first in Premier League because you're talking about elite of the whole world here. Not like back in my day when it was Ireland, England, Scotland, Wales, and maybe a few Scandinavians. I always say that at the time, if I was an 18-year-old now going to England on trial, I'm competing against the whole world and not just the home nations. In the progress of time, it's changed to a world game now.
Yeah.
So I always have this discussion about, will we ever see a Robbie Keane again playing? This is my bet with the boys, playing with Liverpool, Man United, Tottenham, Arsenal or Chelsea. Are Robbie Keane ever playing with one of them in our lifetime?
I don't think so.
You have to be one in 100 million now, whereas back in the day, one in a million would have done it. What are the chances?
Yeah, and it's I suppose we can see it in the makeup of the Irish international team, the clubs
and
that are
playing. That's exactly my argument. And when people start on about the Irish team, I said, let's really relax. We don't have the Liverpool players or the Man United players or the Arsenal players or the experience of being one of those players anymore. Our players know it's a massive achievement to get a long-term career in the Championship even. These top six teams know money is no issue. They just buy the best in the world. So what are the chances of another Robbie Keane? I don't know.
And then to finish off, I suppose you finished off with Limerick FC. Yeah.
I think I was lucky. I got to play professional till nearly 36. When I was finishing in Bruges, I felt I had another little bit. I was still able to look after myself. I was lucky throughout my career. No serious injuries, just all normal run the mills. As I said to my friends, I only had about 7 surgeries, so it was good. nothing serious, just all clean up things. So I came back to Limerick and it was close to me at home. I'm only 25 minutes out the road. Just suited. But unfortunately then after about 6 months my back started giving me issues and it was cumulative, I'd say, from the years and years of doing what I was doing. I just went into them after trying to come back. I think there was about 6 months left in my contract. I said, lads,
time to go.
Finish me off, get the money out and spend it on someone because you were going for promotion at the time. See if you can give the last push and get promoted. We got promoted the year before, stay in the Premier League. So that was the end of me with Limerick. Then I was thinking of quality of life down the road rather than trying to push it too hard. So that was me. Done and dusted.
And going back to, Wolves, are they a team you'd still follow now?
Always. And I always look at Watford results and I'd always check for Ghent results and Circle Bruges results. But you kind of lose the feeling even though you still do all the checking and see how they're getting on because there's nobody still there.
Club.
I feel very old now, 25 years since I moved over there. So actually went back last year the family who I moved in with first when I went over to Wolves, they had families to help you settle in basically. Yeah. The first few months were in the hotel and they found a family for you, and Bill and Val Butler in Bilston, right proper part of Wolverhampton. So I moved in with him and unfortunately Bill died last year, so I went over for the funeral.
Okay.
But it was nice to walk around the stadium and just get a feeling for it again. But I'd been back there with Watford actually to play a few times, but I hadn't been back since.
And now you're back at Charleville again doing a bit of coaching with the kids. And
I actually went about doing my coaching badges and everything and got to my A license and then, is this what I really want to do? I think I'd had enough of it for now anyway.
Hmm.
As I said to people there, where to be, how to be, and told when, what time to be. And I just kind of had enough of that. Even though it was a nice life, it's since I stopped playing football, as I said to people, I can go to funerals, I can go to christenings, I can go to weddings, I can book holidays when I want, I can take days off when I want, and I haven't been able to do that for 20 years. So people don't see that side of things. I missed out on lots of family events and funerals, even grandparents and friends, and it's a harsh world in one way, of course it gives in other ways, but so I like the freedom now at the moment of being able to choose these things. Where I am now, after getting into the, my brother is big involved in our company Cabinets of Charitable Stroke Mallow now, so yeah, I got dragged in and this is my day to day life now, and I enjoy it. It might sound strange, but when you're in the footballing world, you don't turn your back on people, but you can't get involved in conversations with everyone, or you could be getting your ear chewed off, or you could be stuck for hours. And there's no, I enjoy meeting people. It's on a different level. They don't know what I have done before, and there's no, it's just chatting.
I suppose we do know, those of us involved in soccer and an interest in soccer do know. And I'd like to thank you very much, Dominic, for being here this evening. And just again to reflect, I suppose you've had a fantastic career for a young lad from rural County Cork, doesn't often get to play a sort of at the highest level in England, in Portugal, in Belgium, and to win a few international caps and score loads of goals along the way. So it's been a fantastic career. We'll remember you, obviously, for your input at Wolves. And we thank you for that, and thanks for coming along this evening.
You're very welcome, and thank you.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week, and you can follow us on irishwolves.org on our website, or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.